Welcome back, WNSG, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I have positively been crab cake after crab cake. No, I'm not getting sick of them because I'm not eating the same thing every day. Every single day, they are serving me a different kind of crab cake, lemony, tartary, dill, but it is nice to be headed back to Ocean City this weekend. Last time I went down there, I had to really be careful. Everybody was looking at me because I was driving the 2022 Ford Bronco from Coons Ford. Dennis Colazzo's joined us now. He'll be here on Thursday from 3 until 5, and again on Sunday mornings, and we're going to be working on all sorts of things. Dennis, I think we waited a little while for this. Like, last year was so not normal, right? This year's more normal. I did not go to the game Saturday night. Luke was there. I'm on the crab cake tour. I'm all set for Vegas. I got my flights to Detroit and Denver and Chicago and all of that stuff. But I think the routine of football coming back and Rod Woodson and Mike Nolan calling games, and they've both been texting me to come on the show this week. New season, new blood, new everything. No Lamar, definitely football light and all of that. But the routine of it's football season, and I think for all of us who love football, and I had a long chat with my wife over the weekend about what it was like when we didn't have football here for 13 years, it is nice to have football back and to have tickets on my app that I'm going to the games. You know, we're excited about it.
Yeah, it's great to have football season back. To your point, it does feel very much different this year, and as for me, Ness, I was working until 11 p.m. Saturday night. So I watched the game Sunday morning on my NFL Game Pass. It took me 38 minutes. I was able to go back and identify certain plays I wanted to watch. And I love watching the game that way because it's unfiltered. I'm not getting the Twitter feed. I'm not getting other people's opinion. So I can trust my own eyes, my own judgment in terms of what I'm seeing. And then I can comment on it later on from my point of view.
Well, I would never watch like a regular – I couldn't – I don't think I could watch a regular Ravens game in any sort of delay because of social media, right? Like, social media has changed that your phone is there. And if somebody, if you were selling cars at 10 o'clock on Saturday night, I'm shocked somebody in your office wasn't saying something about the game, because I think that's our culture. And anyone would tell you, when I was solely in the sports business, which was most of my life, literally, right? They would say that sports is the last bastion, other than when some maniac gets a machine gun or a war takes over a country in Afghanistan. Things that stop us live, sports is the last thing that we consume in a live way, which is why sponsors want to sponsor it, because you can't TiVo. There's a word we haven't used in a while. TiVo the commercials, you know? I don't know that I could do that in a regular environment. I used to do that with Oriole games. I'd be on a date but this is before we had cell phones. I mean, I'm talking about the 80s or 90s, you know what I mean? I just think it would be very hard to avoid things. A game you cared about, not some dumb preseason.
Yeah,
game,
I got you, but I received about a half a dozen texts from friends of mine that Bruce Posner's on there and Pete's on there. And I avoid it and I ignore their texts. And I texted them all back Sunday morning and said, look, you know what, I appreciate it, but I wasn't watching the game and I wanted to watch it from a first-person perspective and draw my own conclusions about what I saw in regards to the offensive line and the running backs and the defense, et cetera. And so now I can intelligently comment on what I saw versus what Luke or Pete or Bruce saw. I respect their opinions, but a lot of times we see different things when we're watching the same game.
All right, well, let's talk about the game and the team. I don't take these things seriously, right? So like whether it's I take seriously that Zeitler's not healthy, and I take seriously that Stanley might not be fully healthy in the way you need him to be. I take seriously the fact that Villanueva hasn't played on the right side. I take seriously the fact that they don't know who their left guard is, because if you have three, you have none. And so I have concern about all of this. And then I talk to Luke, and Luke's like, they're going to win 12, 13 games. I got to run over everybody. Okay. I mean, I hear that. But right now, as constructed as they are, with a quarterback that's unvaccinated and these two sort of backups that wouldn't be backups almost anywhere. No disrespect to either one of these guys, but they're not like – there's a reason they're here and nowhere else, and they're not starting quarterbacks, right? And they're the ones running around right now. And none of this matters because the kid number eight that needs the ball, that's going to be the centerpiece of all of this. It's like, it truly is fake football in that way on the offensive side. And the defensive side is, we got a lot of guys that run around and make plays, and that shouldn't shock anyone. And I feel way better about the defense than I do about the offense at this point. And, you know, if Lamar's Lamar, they'll go out there, they'll tap dance, they'll do what they do. But it was a lot different with Marshall Yonder around here. It was a lot different with a young, healthy Ronnie Stanley trying to get his $150 million around here a couple of years ago. I'm Missouri on this one, Dennis. I need them to get out there and do it, but I don't need them to do it in some slapdick preseason game against the Redskins next week either. But I'm going to remain skeptical until Monday Night Football in Las Vegas when they're composed as Eric wanted them composed back in April, you know, the way the team was built, because what we're seeing right now is, it's not evaluatable other than to say, well, maybe Geno Stone can play a little.
Well, I too share your concern about the offensive line. I think it's current condition that, look, this might be the way they look the rest of the year as these veterans are hurt. I think it gives more value to Tyler Huntley over Trace McSorley because Tyler Huntley's skill set it's more helpful when that offensive line is a sieve. He's more escapable. He can make plays with his feet. And he does look like Lamar Jackson 2.0. My curiosity from a business standpoint, Nestor, is what does he look like with the number ones? What does he look like with the number one receivers? What does he look like with more reps with the ones? He seems to have a stronger arm than Lamar. And I know that Luke watches him on practice every day. Can he complete the ball outside of the hashes better than Lamar Jackson? And then the final question I have in this equation is there a $200 million difference between these two quarterbacks, or is there not? I think these are all fair questions that Eric DaCosta and John Harbaugh have to take a long, hard look at.
Yeah, I mean, you and I with Lamar and the vaccine and...
And you know, I love Lamar, right? I've been no bigger fan than his, but this vaccine thing has got me thinking differently about how I view him. And the fact that at a minimum, he's going to cost a young man a roster spot, because if he was vaccinated, I can see them going into this season with him and Huntley. But now they almost have to carry McSorley because he may miss another game or two.
Well, we're going to the whole preseason, we're going to see in the next 12 days here, right? Like it all comes down very, very quickly now with three games, this practice this week that they're doing down in the heat in South Carolina and how that goes, the health of the offensive line, but getting the offense to play like a symphony, you know, needs real time and real timing and real communication for a lot of people doing things they haven't done, right? From Villanueva to Zeitler doing it with Lamar, from Lamar doing it with Bateman and with these guys, the new tight end they've brought in. I mean, there's a lot of things happening here, and I'm not sweating it out, and I think they're all professionals, and I think they've drafted good people, you know, they've brought in good people, and they've signed good 30 something year old people. But then I need those. I know how I felt in my 30s versus my 20s. And from a football perspective, I do have some health concerns in August that we're not. It's one thing to say, well, he's not practicing or playing because he's older and it's hot and he just doesn't need it. It's another thing to say, yeah, he's not out there because he's not healthy enough to be out there, and we need him out there as part of this symphony we're trying to build. And building that on the fly in the second quarter in Las Vegas next month's probably not the best way to do this. And certainly building it on the fly against the Kansas City Chiefs 6 days later here, that, you know, this is a shotgun start to this one, right? Like literally to the season, and they need to be playing their best at the beginning. And I think that's very hard to do when you can't get everybody out there.
You know, I liked Buck Showalter a lot. I thought he was a great manager, a great coach. And Buck used to say there's depth and there's volume. And that's, I think, that's when you talk about that, you think about the Ravens' offensive line. Do they have depth or do they have volume? And based on a snapshot of one game, they have volume. Like you said, when you have three guards, you don't have one. And that's really the biggest concern of this team is, can they put this thing together before the season starts? Can everybody get healthy? Can they get them all on the same page? And it's also not unusual for the defenses to be ahead of the offenses this time of the year on every team, right? It's more instinctive. It's more cohesive, particularly with the Ravens when they have so many new parts on that offensive line.
Dennis Colatzos is here. He is the Colatzos Show. You can find him out on Twitter. Also find him at 3 p.m. on Thursdays as well as Sundays before the game, mixing in Luke and me and a whole bunch of friends to talk some football around here as I continue my Crab Cake Tour. The hashtag for that is Crab Cake Tour. Dan, I know we haven't talked a lot of football around here, so I mean, I'm happy to talk more football, but I have been picking up more yellow watermelon. I was on my friend's boat down in St. Michael's. We stopped by the Wise. Rob Santoni was on. We're having that crab cake with them on the 19th of next month as well. So I'm starting to set. People thought 30 crab cakes or something, but there's going to be a lot more crab cakes after I get back from this thing here and touring the state. I can't. You're a fisherman, right? I can't begin to tell you how many bodies of water that I have gone by in the last 15 days in this state that I've sought out on the Potomac, learning these finger rivers, Nanticoke, the Miles River, where these crabs come from and how it affects what they taste like and where they come from the brackishness of the water. Walking into seafood shacks and seeing the True Blue stickers for Maryland seafood and seeing crabbers and crab pots and getting off of boats in Oxford and Bellevue yesterday and smelling seafood and seeing the brackish water. And then I'm going fly fishing 2 weeks from now with Dan Roderick. So My boy Sam Tudor tried to get me to meet him in Vienna, Maryland, and put in the water to fish for snakefish. Wow. Vienna, Maryland. Okay. That's out on Eastern Shore. I looked it up.
I know where Vienna, Virginia is. I just don't know where Vienna, Maryland is.
You know what? I'm gonna Google map it right now to make sure that I'm not just saying stupid stuff, but no. I don't think I was. Hold on. Vienna, Maryland is it is on the Nanticoke River.
Okay.
It is you pass right through it on 50. So it's the Nanticoke River, like between Cambridge and Salisbury. It's that little river you go over.
Okay.
Halfway between Cambridge. So the Nanticoke, that's where he wanted me to put in. And we were gonna fish from there. And I haven't done it yet. And he's got a boat and like a YouTube show and all that. We grew up together in Colgate, Dundalk guy. And so at some point I want to do that with him. But this fishing thing where you've gone through these phases, right? You know, like whether it's, you said working out and golf and you get addicted to certain things. The fishing thing for me, I'm starting to get worried. I don't own a fishing rod. I have now communicated with all my cousins in Delaware, with my Aunt Clara, who fished on all the ponds. I passed Lum's Pond going up to Jimmy Buffett the other day, coming out of Cecil County, which is where my aunt took me fishing when I was a boy with a bobber trying to catch sunfish. You know what I mean? Fishing for you. Give me where you, because last year that was your thing during the pandemic.
Yeah.
This year I'm not fishing, but I'm with my wife in all of these places that quite frankly I want to go back to. I want to go back to Hooper's Island at some point, get a crab cake. My boy from Chad from Al Seafood, his whole family's down there. I got snaked by Essex people in Hooper's Island. I'm telling you, this is a great state, and I've gotten on a lot of airplanes to leave here. And now that I've discovered here a little bit, I'm going to drive around more.
Well, you'll find out in your travels that people that grew up in Essex, Dundalk, Middle River, you know, 212-220-221-222, we love to fish. Middle River is right there. Seneca is down there, the power plant. I mean, there's water everywhere, so you're going to meet a lot of people. So this year, I have fished in Virginia, Maryland, Delaware, Pennsylvania. So I like to go to different states on Sunday.
I saw that picture of you on a Potomac with the guy that had the show, right?
Ken Penrod. So you know what? It's nice to you know what? I'm going to brag. I outfished Ken Penrod. He was making fun of me because I kept changing lures. But I said, Ken, it doesn't make sense to me to throw the same thing all day when I'm not catching anything. So after I switched a few lures, I caught on to what the fish liked that day. And Ken was actually using my bait. He says, what do you got in a tackle box? So
I'm trying to figure my cat out every day. Now you want me to figure out what fish are thinking?
Well, cats are probably easier to figure out than fish, right? But fish are pretty predictable. They're, you know, depending on the time of the year, temperature, water temperature, the kind of bait that's in the area. And that's the science of it, right? So you have professional fishermen that they rely on luck 5% of the time and 95% of the time on their skill. That's how they put food on the table. And I try to be that way. I try to be that meticulous. You know, I try to study it real hard. And It's a lot easier on my back than golfing, and I'm a lot more accurate. I hit water every time I cast my line, which is I can't say the same thing with the fairways and the greens. It's a lot. It's very enjoyable. You get the sunlight. You get to watch all the wildlife. You know what I'm talking about. There's nothing like being out on the water nest. Just isn't. And you can always dive in too to cool off. That's the other benefit of it too.
My dear friends, lifer friends of mine, Jerry and Lori Piper, Dundalk folks, Perry Hall, they almost raised my son, Dan. When I was syndicated back at the end of the century, 98, 99, 2000, 2001, my son was 14, 15, 16. And they would put him up, feed him, treat him right. They had a pet ferret. And when they found out that, like, I was looking for a sugar shack over in Easton and Cambridge, they kept me out of the Econo Lodge.
Okay, nice.
And so we stayed on their boat. So we slept on the boat over the weekend. We drove down to Tillman. No crab cakes in Tillman, Dennis. And now,
that's strange.
I have put these videos up of Jack Brooks, and they have thousands of views right out of the gate. I the videos with Jack in the go check it out. They're at Baltimore Positive. They're on our WNST Baltimore Positive YouTube channel. I started putting the videos up of the women, you know, picking crabs and how they sort the meat and weigh the meat. Jack's told the whole story on video. I'm about five videos in. If you're watching, I'm releasing them along with all the other content we've had. And I'm over in Tillman Island in the morning, and Kathy and Jim Schwartz, my dear friend of Arbutus and now coaching with the Titans. I text him because I went past his place. He has a place down toward Tillman Island. And he said, use my place. And everybody wanted me to use their place once I'm down there, right? And Tillman Island had no crab cakes. I thought that was shocking. You know, like they were all off the menu, and I was told they were going to be off the menu.
Really?
So I came back up to St. Michael's. I had a crab cake in St. Michael's I'm not going to talk about for the rest of my life. Okay. I should have known. Yeah, it wasn't any good. So, and I've had a couple that haven't been any good, but I had one of the greatest crab cakes I've ever had in Hooper's Island earlier that day. And my wife and I called an audible in St. Michael's like at noon on Saturday and just drove to Cambridge and just went into the Blackwater Refuge on a really hot day. We saw the Harriet Tubman Underground Railroad, which was, I mean, heartbreaking, and we're going to go back and do that whole trail for sure through Cambridge. And all we saw down in Blackwater was just, it was so beautiful. Like I've waited my whole life to make that right-hand turn and go down there. And it made me want to have a fishing rod. It didn't make me want to have a boat, because I understand the responsibility of a boat. Made me want to be on everybody else's boat, but it made me realize how many people in my life have boats. My friends Marty and Sharon were docked up in Tillman. We didn't know it till we were in St. Michael's. We didn't connect, but like people are out on this water and using this water. Dennis, I've been at concerts and ball games that's what I've done with my life, the first 52 years, right? And I don't love golf, and I'm finding new hobbies and new things. You with the fishing thing getting me seated last year, me running around Montana. I still haven't held a fishing pole. The first time I'm going to hold a fishing pole would have been with Sam Tudor out in the first time in 20 years that I've held a fishing pole. But I'm going to do this with Dan Fly Fishing. So I'm starting the exploration and all the parts of the Eastern Shore and all the parts of meeting different kinds of people. This has been a really wonderful couple of weeks. I just wanted to let you know. So you're going to get a fishing rod. You and I are going to fish together at some point.
Blackwater Refuge is a great place. I have a lot of my friends. They fish for snakeheads there. And the nice thing about them, Ness, they're close to shore. They're not difficult to catch. And my friends like to eat them. I tried the fish one time. It wasn't for me. I like grilling my fish. I don't like covering the taste in cracker meal. And they were more like a catfish. And nothing wrong with catfish. Just not my favorite. But Blackwater Refuge is a fantastic place to drop a line in. You can catch them close to the ramp. A lot of them use a kayak, right? So they just get out there. The water is very shallow, 3, 4, 5 feet deep. And
beautiful birds. There's just stuff to look at. You know, it's not
a sanctuary.
It's not a boring place.
You're not going to find any frogs there. You know why? Because they've all been eaten, devoured by the snakeheads. So all you do is throw a topwater lure, a frog, and you know what? You'll catch 3, 4, 5, 6 sizable snakeheads every time you go out there. It's a great day on the water. Highly recommend.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean,
you've done this.
I haven't done it, but I have customers, I have friends, I have pictures, I have all kind of great things. And I've studied it. I'm going to get down to Blackwater Refuge eventually on a kayak to watch, to catch these big fish, because they're voracious. I mean, you, when they're around, and they're around, there are plenty of them, no shortage of these, and they get up to, you know, 30, 35, 40 pounds. So they fight like hell. So it's a great time to get out there and be one with nature.
You got to have the right line for that, right? I mean, a 20-pound fish hits your line. You better be.
Yeah, but
right,
you don't need, right? You don't need very heavy line. They have teeth, but their teeth are spread apart. They're spaced out, so you don't need steel eaters. You don't need special equipment, but they fight like heck, and they taste good to a lot of people, just not to me.
Dennis Galatzos giving us food, drink, travel, and fishing advice. He'll be back on Thursday from 3 until 5 each and every week, chatting. Lots of football, but lots of other stuff as well. As things start to heat up here, once we get into September, college football, right? Like baseball playoffs are going to be coming down the line. They're going to be starting football, basketball and hockey again soon, right? Like, I haven't figured out those winter seasons and how they even sort it all out.
I haven't either. Just follow the money, though, and you'll see what the events that are.
It feels like they just ended the NBA two weeks ago, didn't they?
You see those contracts; those guys love getting paid, and where you can make $250 million over a few years, you're going to play.
All right. So, what's your bucket list thing left in Maryland? Because I'm doing the next 2 weeks. Lots of things I've never done. I mean, I'm doing Antietam, I'm doing Rivers, I'm doing Cumberland, I'm doing the Frostburg Flyer, going to Deep Creek. So I'm doing all of these things I've never done. The really neat part of this tour for me has been making that right turn off of 50 and just seeing stuff that's 5 miles away from what you've avoided your whole life. And you just think, man, if I just meander down this path a little way, the things I've seen beautiful baseball diamonds, Dan, with like home run fences that made me really jealous because I didn't have that when I was a kid. It's a beautiful state. It's so well manicured, the corn, the tobacco. We saw stuff growing off the side of the road. We weren't even sure what it was. I took a picture of it. We think it might be hops for like beer. We're not sure, but it's a plant I've never seen before, but it's clearly something to be harvested. So we've seen wild sunflowers. Like we've seen eagles, we've seen egrets, we've seen blue heron, but I haven't seen any fish too much. But we've seen a lot of people fishing, but I think the next exploration for me is going to get out and get a rod, go see Tony Tochterman.
Yeah, we're going to Garrett County is going to be my destination, Deep Creek Lake, this summer at some point between August and September. Going to head out there and do some fishing and lodging on that beautiful lake. I know you've been there.
No, I've never been.
Oh, you haven't been there?
No,
okay.
No. That's why I'm doing this.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to get out there.
You've been before?
Never been. First time. Talk about a bucket list item. It's Deep Creek Lake.
Dennis, I'm shocked. And when I get out there, and I'm not spending enough time there, right? Like we're going to have a day. Most of these are like a day of exploration. And it's like I said to my wife driving back, we did the Bill Burton Bridge the other day. And I work with Bill Burton at the Evening Sun. Do you remember Bill Burton from TV?
Oh, of course I remember Bill Burton. I've been around a couple of years longer than you have, but I remember his columns in the Sun paper or News American, whichever one. But I used to, again, being a voracious reader, you're reading all things that are sports. Used to read his columns all the time.
All right. So I told this story in the video from the bridge in Cambridge. You know where the Bill Burton fishing pier is, right?
Absolutely.
You and I should fish off the Bill Burton fishing pier.
We should do that.
We should, because that would be easy. And, I got friends that I've made a lot of friends in Cambridge now. Yeah. We went to Ocean Odyssey. The Todd family been serving seafood there forever. Got to know them a little bit. We were there on the 35th anniversary of them opening. Cambridge is where Jack Brooks pulls all those crabs out of the, out of the Chop Tank River that tastes so good. But Bill Burton was my colleague and like larger than he was the most famous guy in the sports section. When I took that job, I was 17 years old in 1986. He's the guy who had been on TV for 15 years with them. So my wife said, did he look like the Gordon's fisherman? And I'm like, yeah, kind of looked like the Gordon's fisherman. He kind of did. So I get to the paper and the first spring Jack Gibbons, my boss, was always trying to give me a little extra money and a little extra work, right? He was always trying to give me $25 to do a story because I was a hard worker. And, you know, even though I screwed up the lottery picks sometimes and even screw up the Dennis Colazzo show from time to time, 40 years later, he still liked me and, you know, he would give me assignments when somebody had a week off. Ah, Nestor will write that story. We'll pay him $25. And I had a little extra money to feed my kid. It was nice. Put gas in the car and go see Van Halen, right? So he says to me, you're going to be writing the fishing column for Bill Burton this week. Jack, I don't know anything about fishing. Don't need to know. Bill's going to take care of it. And when I would go in, Bill would call and say, Nestor, I'm going to leave all the notes for you in your mailbox. And my mailbox, John Steadman hijacked my mailbox and he crossed my name out and he put hard metal. He didn't know heavy. He thought I listened to heavy metal, okay, but it was a malaprop. So it made it even better because it was Steadman and it was sure, like sort of Mr. Rogers weird, you know, that he would call me hard metal, not heavy metal. So Bill Burton would leave me on yellow line paper in his handwriting in cursive, every name of Captain Buddy Harrison. You call him down here. You call this guy in Ocean City. You call this guy Point Lookout. You call this guy on the Nanticoke River. And he gave me 15 phone calls to make. And I sat there and made those phone calls. I said, hi, buddy, I'm calling on Captain on behalf of Mr. Bill Burton. Can you tell me if the fish are biting? And he would say, we got the perch. They're biting off of these lures. And I would just take the notes and write it down. And I have 15 times in my career, maybe more, I did the fishing report for Bill Burton. And it was fishing report by Nestor Aparicio in the Evening Sun. And people read it.
Well, because you know what? Back then, you know, before we had social media and apps and whatnot, where else are you going to get your fishing information, right? So the Sun was the best place.
Bill had relationships. It goes back to you selling cars and, you know, me doing Baltimore Pot. It's like Bill knew he was Paul Revere. It was just like Malcolm Gladwell, right? Like, the tipping point. Bill knew fishermen in Deep Creek. He knew fishermen everywhere. And he, with one phone call, he could tell Dennis in Essex, hey, man, the fish are really biting up in Deep Creek. Go up there and use these lures. And that was information in 1978, right? And I paid homage to Bill. And Dennis, this is the power of what I do, right? Not to brag about Coons Ford or I put that video up Sunday night. We shot it 4 days ago. I put it up Sunday night, and within 30 minutes, my wife's on the couch and she says, Ness, Bill Burton's daughter is on your Facebook. She saw the video because somebody I knew tagged her. And then within 5 minutes, she's seeing the video. And I don't know Bill's daughter at all, but I'm hoping to have her on the show. So it's, you know, the internet gives and it takes. But when you get out and you meet people and you start talking to people, you get these stories, because I don't think I've ever told anybody the Bill Burton story, you know, ever.
Yeah. There are a lot of good people out there. You know what? The media tends to be negative as a whole. And in general, negativity sells much more so than positivity. So it's nice when you can pay homage to Bill Burton, the great Bill Burton, and his daughter jumps on her. But yeah, he was a fantastic guy. Loved all of his articles, him and Lefty Cray, right? And I'm sure they know Tony Tockerman and the Tockerman family. And it's small to more, right? We all know each other and we all talk to each other. We all support each other. And that's what makes this this city, this town great.
As well as gold watermelon this time of year from Wise Market.
Absolutely.
Dan, I'm just going to say this. Tony Chalkman was probably literally my first sponsor back in 1992. And, I need to go over and get a rod. Dan Rodericks has been texting me.
He's the right
guy. My wife, waiters, boots, all the stuff that we're literally going to need to do this 2 weeks from Friday up on the Savage River. And serendipity's been like the gold glow of the watermelon is like the gold glow of the dome of sunshine over the crab cake tour. The Dan Rodericks moved our day from Thursday to Friday. I'm convinced it's going to rain on Thursday and be perfect on Friday. I'm just convinced of that.
Well, from your lips to God's ear. So I hope you guys get great weather and tight lines. When your line is tight, that's a good thing.
We've been watching people fish. All I've been doing, my wife's been doing a lot of the driving this week. I did all the driving last week, right? Because I had your vehicle, right? So she's been with me the last 2 weekends. So she's been doing driving. So I'm like rubbernecking, and I just keep seeing, I'm looking I'm looking for a fish coming off. And, you know, sure enough, we're seeing all sorts of fish come out. But it started at the Marlin Open, right? I saw this 137-pound tuna hanging in front of me. And I had two clients and friends, Evan Brown and Brian Eater from the Chaucer. Brian's coming on the show this week, fishing, you know, out there looking to get these marlin. And then I sat on a boat all weekend and I said to my friend Jerry, I'm like, how in the hell did that boat sink with the fish? Right. And he explained it to me that they had this giant fish. They're not even sure what they had. And they were backing the boat up and the water came into the boat, right? Apparently they saved their lives and the beer. And that was, do you know that story? They saved the cooler of beer too. And these are Middle River guys. You know what I mean? So this is,
makes all this. Yeah. Never mind the kids, save the beer. I got it.
Dennis, it's only the middle of the month and these are all fresh stories. So getting out on the road and doing stuff. I appreciate the sponsorship. Appreciate the friendship. We'll get you back on time and on the right track on Thursday. And some point, I'm going to fish with you. You know, the mayor of Ocean City admitted to me that he's never been to Deep Creek Lake.
Well, you know, it's way out there and, you know, you get busy, life happens. And there's many, to your point, there's many beautiful areas in the state of Maryland that us natives have never visited, right? Never mind traveling in the entire world. There's a lot of beauty right underneath our nose.
Well, look at that. You've driven through Vienna, Maryland a million times and didn't know it was Vienna, Maryland. I've driven through all of these places without it. I had never heard of Oxford, Maryland, okay, until 8 months, you know, when I started doing the research, everybody kept saying, you got to go to, I did Oxford Sunday. Do you know about the Oxford Bellevue Ferry? Do you know what that is?
I do not. Nope.
Okay.
No,
it is the longest, oldest family run ferry in the United States of America.
Wow.
It ferries back and forth every 10 or 15 minutes. It costs $4. And here's the really cool part. We went to Bellevue. My dear friend Brian Doak lives in that area. He has a boat and he drove us back. I got on the ferry. We were the only one. You can bring your car on the ferry. We were the only ones on the ferry and we had a beautiful young lady who was running the ferry. She was very athletic, kind of tall and redhead, braces and beautiful and looked to be 20 years old, you know? And I started talking. She's the only person on the boat, me, my wife and her. And I said, you know, we'd never heard of Oxford before this. She's like, I've been working here this summer. I've lived in Cambridge my whole life and I didn't know this existed until I got the job here. And I'm like, all right, I need to get out and promote these things because people should take the Oxford Bellevue Ferry in Maryland. And it's 5 minutes off of 50. It's just like
That's
right
crazy.
Down the road from Easton. So I'm discovering stuff. So this has
there
been, it's been truly a blessing. It's been a gift to me this summer to do this. And the crab cakes have been pretty good for the most part too.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. Keep having fun.
We'll see you on Thursday. All right. Dennis Colazzo, Scoons Ford, Security Boulevard. Find him over there. Find him at D Colazzo Show and find him at 3 here on Thursday from 3 until 5 and then rebroadcast over the weekend as well. And getting you ready for game days, Sundays in Baltimore. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Gold Watermelon and Baltimore Positive.